This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Baby, this week do we have a wild episode for you. It's so fun.
I was just doing a soundscape. You didn't like it? Oh, no!
I couldn't hear it. Your mic dropped out. So your mouth was moving, and I was like, what's happening?
More amazing interactions just like this on today's episode with comedian, entertainment star, TikToker, all-around good time, Ryan Asher.
Ooh, happy birthday, Ryan.
Forever Dog.
When your first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us. Sloppy seconds.
Oh, diva. Ah, wait. Our number. What is that from? Do you know?
Allstate.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Our number is 213-536-9180. Our email is sloppysecondspot@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Hi, you sloppy, you stupid little fucks, you nasty little fucks, you dirty little fucks, you stupid little fucks. One of them sloppy seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball. I'm Meatball, and that's Big Dipper.
Hello. I saw you in person for the very first time in a long time yesterday.
I know, when I was in drag, styled up, baby. Listen,
you
y'all.
You were,
I
made, okay, let them know. Let them know what happened.
I made fun of Big Dipper's sty for a full episode. I let him have it. I didn't let him live down his dirty, stinky poo sty. Then maybe a day later, I was like, my eye is irritated. And then the next day after that, I had a full-blown sty on my eye. But I did what I had to do, and I got in makeup over the sty. And let me tell you, it was the worst pain imaginable taking my makeup off yesterday. It hurt so bad. Because like for the last 2 days, I'd been soaking it, steaming it, taking care of it, which makes the pain go away. Yesterday, for like 5 hours, I did nothing but sat with black, thick eyeliner on it. So to get it off, I had to rub it, and it was so swollen.
Well, do you know what that is?
That's because it's a clogged pore on my eye.
No, that is Mercury in retrograde. Right there for you, divas. That's called science. No response. Okay, so I'm very excited to introduce our special guest today, who... Why are you looking at me like that, Meatball?
No response? At you like what? Okay. I don't know if I believe in that, but technically, yes, that is science because it is astrology.
No, it's not. None of what I just said made any sense.
It made perfect sense.
I was just doing a goof. Okay. I'm very excited to have our guest with us today.
Me too.
She is a comedian. She's a character actor. A renaissance person. A yak of all trades. Please make some noise for Ryan Asher.
Hello. I'm a renaissance person. I came from that time. Okay. I time traveled here to do a podcast on Zoom.
Okay, so are you, you're going to do this character the whole time?
Yes. Hello, my lord.
Did you ever do like a renaissance, were you a renaissance fair person in your youth?
I fucking wish. Like, I didn't go to a renaissance fair until the year, like, 2 years ago, the summer before the pandemic, I went to this giant one in Illinois outside of Chicago. Horniest place on earth.
It is a very horny energy. Wild. Also, some of those men at the Renaissance Fair, I mean, at the one that I went to, which I think was in New York, some of them are so fit. They're like full-blown, yes, like bodybuilders, all dressed up in like Renaissance garb with long hair. And I was horny.
Yes, because it's like in high school when the nerd like takes his shirt off and you're like, what? Like, you're fully ripped. At the one I went to, there was like 50 different Spider-Men. There was like a pirate Spider-Man, a black and white Spider-Man. There were people who were trees. It was like anything you could imagine was there. But everything there was horny.
Oh, 10 out of 10 horny.
Yes, horniest place on earth.
But it's like a Renaissance Fair and a Comic-Con. It's like los dos.
Well, yeah, yes, a little yes. bit. But I think there's a big crossover because people say, hey, this is my chance to get dressed up. Now let me do it.
Absolutely. I love to get dressed up.
It's beautiful to see.
Ryan, you like love to get dressed up. This is true.
Oh, I love you. You look at me and you say, she wears a wig around the house.
You know what I see? Yes. One or two wigs on your head before.
At least three. Yes, I love to dress up. Yes, but when I go to a Renaissance Fair, don't need to. Like there, yeah. I'm just there to witness. I'm there to celebrate everyone else witness. Who's like, my lifestyle is this.
You're there yes. to hold space for them while they express their lifestyle and their interests.
Absolutely. The cutest was you'd see like a parent who is like obsessed with dressing up and then a normal child who's like embarrassed and normal. Vice versa. Yeah. Or like normal, sorry, excuse me.
Okay. I was in a friend group, so all of my friends were dressed up in like very expensive period dress that they had spent collecting, and then I showed up in a t-shirt and jeans, and I was like, oh, so now I'm the weird one.
You're the fool.
Yeah.
Yeah, honey, yeah. You want to talk about a court jester? Don't wear a t-shirt and jeans and some Vans to the Renaissance Fair, Diva, because yes. you will get the rotten fruit thrown at you.
I was about to say, you'll have a tomato on your head, girl.
I didn't know!
So Ryan, I met you in Chicago when you were performing on the main stage at Second City. The world famous Second City.
And that's actually how you legally have to say it.
Oh, okay, got it.
Second City.
And how did that come about? Because for folks in the comedy world, in the sketch and like improv world, and especially in Chicago, but also because, like we said in the name, world famous, I mean, that is a super coveted spot that like means a lot, like means you've really sort of trotted the boards and done something with your comedic life. Like, how did that come about for you?
Oh, God, that took like 10 years of work indeed. Because I moved to Chicago in 2010, and I don't think I started working for Second City until like 2015.
Wow. Okay, so that's 5 years. So let's be real.
So where's the other
Your
5 years?
Math is
off. So I started working for them, but I didn't get main stage until like, I guess it was 7 years. Okay, my math is back. Listen.
Wow. Listen. So now you're a liar.
So what you aren't is a mathematician, and what you are is a liar.
Listen, okay, the last year and a half, 2 years have melted my brain into it. All I do is watch Survivor. So, like, sure, it was 7 years. Work. Basically, I moved there to do comedy. I started doing like IO classes and Second City classes, and kind of was told, you're horrible, never do this a lot.
Wow.
I think it was just like the culture is so, this is going to shock you guys, straight white man.
Oh my God, I couldn't imagine.
I was blown away.
Wait, in comedy, that's what you're saying?
In comedy. And I know no one knows that, but it was very much like they wanted women to be like small, quiet wives who sort of like support the men to say funny things was a lot of what I was like getting.
Yeah.
And I was really defeated for a while. And then at one point I was just like, fuck it, and started having more fun. And I think that's when I got hired. I really feel very lucky about it. I don't know. I worked hard, but also like they needed a short-haired white woman to wear pants on stage, I guess. At that time.
That's what it says on your resume at the bottom. Yeah,
white wear
pants.
We'll wear pants.
We'll wear pants.
Not afraid of a pant.
My touring company was at one point 4 women and 2 men, which was like unheard of. And we all had short haircuts and we all wore pants. And the producers were like, oh!
They were like, where's the blonde in a skirt that sometimes gets labs for us?
Yeah, they're like, they're on tour going to Wisconsin. They won't like that.
But wasn't the show that you did, the first show, because you did a couple shows on the main stage.
Yeah, I did too.
Wasn't the first one like sort of, weren't there like headlines about it was the first time ever there was only one white male or straight white male or some, I don't know, some sort of like numbers game about the, you know, I'm doing big air quotes here, like diversity on that stage.
I don't know if that was that show because we had two straight white men.
Oh, got it. But normally it's like eight.
Normally it's 1,000 and then one sad woman and then one sad person of color who's like doing all the work.
Who's like, I'm trying to be the catch-all for the company.
Absolutely. They're like, yeah. Every scene, like I remember in the second show, we had a director who like every scene that the black actors were in had to be like, I'm a black person in America. They could never be like, I'm a wacky uncle. Which is like so fucked up. Like that's why we all got into this. It's because we want to play the wacky uncle.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? You don't want your sketch to be that intense every, because you do it every night. For tourists.
Multiple times a night, right?
Yes.
Talk us through the schedule of what it's like to be on the main stage.
When you're on
me,
main
I love
stage
logistics.
Show.
I'll give you the schedule. So we worked Tuesday through Sunday. Monday was our only day off.
Oh my gosh.
And we did 8 shows a week, unless there was a holiday on a Monday. Then, because we did one show Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday, 1 Sunday. And on Friday and Saturday, the second show starts at 11. It's 2 hours long. It's a 2-act show. And then we have to do, yes. And then we have to do a free improv set at like 1 a.m.
You can barely get me to dance around on a stage for 3 minutes. I could not imagine a 2-hour.
Wait, I came and did the improv set with you guys one time. That was at 1 in the morning?
You bomb? Probably came. She was horrible. We'll talk later. No, she was amazing. It was amazing.
All right, don't go. No, you swung too far the opposite
way. She's the best one we've ever had.
They left. She was like, better than my future wedding day. I won the lottery when Dipper did improv with us. No, we played Zip Zap Zop. No, they let me do music.
Yeah.
I came and did like a song or two, and then I did little improv games with them. It was very fun.
That's fun.
It really was great. Because also that time is when we get to have friends come and we get to finally see other people do stuff. Because we're there. We're basically trapped there the whole time we're doing the show. We can't see friends, can't do holidays, can't go to shows.
You can't do anything at night except be in your show.
No, yeah. Every night. And then you get out late. So you probably came on a night that wasn't the weekend. You probably came like on a Sunday.
Yes.
So we could actually hang out afterwards.
Oh my God.
It's just wild to me that there's a 1 a.m. show. Or it ends at 1 a.m. or it starts at 1 a.m.
The free improv set starts at, it might have, okay, so we started the show at 11. Yeah, around 1 a.m.
And if you're a student at Second City, you go there just to watch the free improv set. So you like make your way. It's not like other people who have seen the show, they like hang out after and they're like boozy and they're like, oh, we're going to watch. But if you're a student there, you're like encouraged, like make some time to go see that free improv set at 1 a.m.
Yes.
That's how UCB was, where they were like, go hang out. You'll meet people there. Hang out. I was like, after 10 p.m., I'm over. It's done, Mama.
I'm over.
Like, no good hangouts are happening at 1 a.m.
No.
Like, that's not teaching you anything.
In fact, this is such a, like, we're all clearly over the hill having this conversation. Because I was just imagining myself, I'm like, if I was 22 and listening to this, so shout out to all our 20-year-old listeners.
All of our youngsters who are like, party at 1 a.m.
Who are literally
your
like,
fantasy.
Yeah, I shout leave out. The house at 1 in the morning. What are you fucking old people talking about?
It's crazy. I mean, this is one of my favorite stories of that time. Is this was when one of the amazing abortion bans bills was being passed, which just sort of keeps happening and we love to see it. So one of them was passed. It's a Saturday night. And so before the improv set, we're doing the show outro and we're like, hey, you can stick around for some free improv. And also you can donate to this like abortion fundraiser to like support women in whatever horrible state this was happening in. And so then we take a break, then we come out for the improv set. And this was a night where we didn't have a big crowd. And this woman was like, dead babies! You want us to kill babies? And I'm like, excuse excuse me? And she's like, you all want us to go to a website so that babies die. Starts screaming at us with her husband, who's like, yes, they do. They start running around the audience, running around. And they would go and sit next to other audience members and be like, they want us to kill babies. They were fully in control. They ran around the whole audience screaming at us. The police showed up. The guy runs away and he tells a bartender, like, I had to leave because there's a warrant out for my arrest in Tennessee. And, you know, we're getting married tomorrow.
Oh, we're getting married tomorrow.
She is a white lady and the police don't do anything and no one removes her at all from our show. So we were like her hostages for 30 minutes until she left. And then we had to do improv and the whole audience was like, we
let
hate
me go it. Home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you do any sketches about killing babies?
That's all I did.
Yeah, I was like, that's a lot. I mean, she gave you all the, you didn't even have to ask, like, I need a suggestion.
I need a suggestion about killing babies.
You're like, no, we got it. Tennessee, arrest warrant, getting married tomorrow. You just actually broke into the song from My Fair Lady, I'm Getting Married in the Morning.
Oh my God. That's what that is about.
Dead baby.
Dead babies in Tennessee.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quickie break and yes, we'll be mama. Right back.
Ooh, this has been so fun. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
When my fridge is stocked with Factor meals, I'm like, oh baby, I don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so nice. The combinations are so good. I am a meat eater, but the vegetable options, there are so many. Like, I remember I had like a, it was like a mushroom with pasta and like a cauliflower rice. And I was like, the mushroom is filling. Like, there's plenty of portion, there's plenty of vegetable, and there's plenty of flavor. And I am usually sort of not a microwave person.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool that this quality of food can just be heated up in the microwave.
And so fast. I also love it because I am a very much into ordering delivery.
I know.
Now having all the food there, I can kind of pick what I want and it's ready in 2 minutes. I don't have to wait an hour for stuff to get delivered. And these are way healthier options than ordering delivery.
Completely. And when they have multiple things in them, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, if I cook for myself, all I'm going to eat is the biggest bowl of pasta you've ever seen in your life. But this is like, you get a little pasta and the chicken and a vegetable all in one dish.
Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you gotta do is heat up and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause to reschedule deliveries that suit your lifestyle.
And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long with Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu items for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code SLOPPYSECONDS50 at factormeals.com/SLOPPYSECONDS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
That's a slay, baby.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay.
And we're back. Ooh, see, I got rough at the end. I can never finish as strong as I start. Thoughts?
I liked it at the end. Is that Wicked?
Have you seen Wicked?
My sister told me that we would be talking about Wicked today.
Yes, I love your sister. I'm obsessed with
your sister.
Let's talk
about Wicked and let's talk about your sister.
Okay,
first,
yes.
Wicked did spend a long time in Chicago. Did you ever get to swing by it? Or were you too busy doing your ha-has at the improvs?
I was too busy doing my ha-has at the improvs to see anything fun. But I saw Wicked in Richmond, like a Broadway tour in Richmond after college. And I remember thinking, I feel like I blacked out. Like, I only remember the Defying Gravity song. The rest, nothing.
True. I mean, and that's... That's easy to forget because the Defying Gravity one is the only one where something big happens. But the rest of the time, it's just like a bunch of people talking and like skipping around a stage in green.
Absolutely. And my one real memory of Wicked is my mom read the book before it was a musical. So I remember her kind of being horny for this book, not to bring horny up again.
Well, but she was like, book is your life horny.
Yeah.
So it like, is?
Yes. Yeah.
The book, there's like a lot of fucking, and the broom tries to touch her nether regions.
The broom?
Yes, there's a scene where she's about to learn how to fly on the broom, and it keeps twiddling up with her twixt her nethers, and she has to keep slapping the broom away.
Okay, bad broom.
Excuse me?
Should have sat on it. Now, I'm obsessed with your sister. Anytime I'm in Chicago, I definitely hope that she comes out to the show. She makes incredible... We're talking about Stoner.
Yes. Sydney. That's
their Instagram handle. It's Sydney. And they've talked about her on Race Chaser as well, I think. She makes incredible shrinky dinks.
Yes. She's a star. And you're her favorite.
She's an incredible artist, and I'm obsessed.
Yeah. And she's obsessed. And when I told her I was doing this, she was like, stop.
what exactly is a shrinky dink?
It's like a thing that you draw bigger and then you put it in the oven and it shrinks.
Yes,
but it's made out of
plastic
resin.
Yes. No, that's a different kind.
Resin. Resin. You won't change shape.
So, do you even love your sister? What's going on? You don't know what her.
I think she did a really good job of explaining it. You draw on it and it shrinks.
I think resin is a different kind because she'll be like, this is a resin one.
Yeah.
Well,
she
like
puts resin over the top of them, which makes them shiny. Yes.
Yes. I just remember one day Sydney showed up and was like, had this really cool shrinky dink, and then they never stopped coming.
Mm-hmm. She makes them of like, and she's the one that like takes like an iconic drag moment and then makes it a shrinky dink. So she has like the Tamisha Amon stare.
Yeah.
She has me doing like the old lady face. She made a couple of pinche. The Candy Muse one was really good.
Yes. They're so good. They're all so good.
So what is it about your family that's so funny? Was there a trauma in your youth?
Yes.
Massive
and
trauma.
And this is the first time we're going to talk about it. And today's the day. I don't know. I think they just like comedy. They're just like goofy ass clown people.
Wait, did she move to Chicago because of you? Or are y'all from Chicago?
We're from Virginia. And I think it was partially like I was there. So it was great. We had an aunt and uncle there. But also it was just a bigger city than Richmond, where she and I went to school.
And what was that like? What was going to school in Richmond like? I need to know these things. I'm just trying to figure out because you're both so like goofy and wacky.
I'm gonna let you finish, Ryan. But
I do
love a lot of times Meatball's interview style is someone mentions something and Meatball just goes, "And what was that like?"
I want to know. I'm trying to figure out because like I don't know. Y'all are just both so crazy.
I think the crazy might come from, we're from Charlottesville, Virginia, which is like very like sort of a hippie liberal part of Virginia, but it's still Virginia. So it's lots of like, we have horses and we wear polos and we're very like Southern, but like rich. And my family, my parents are like public school teachers. So we weren't. So I think it was just us being like, y'all suck. We watch SNL at night. You know, like just like we went on like E-Bombs World and stuff, just like stupid shit, you know what I mean?
I miss E-Bombs World.
I know, bring it back. So I guess that might be where it came from, us just being like, everyone else here is so boring, we will clown. Yeah.
And what was that like?
And now what's being a clown like?
It was really hard as a young woman to be a clown because the world doesn't want a young lady clown.
Were there like, this makes me think of like, there was this TikTok trend a while ago because I want to get into some TikTok chats because
let's go.
You make amazing.
You are a TikTok star.
You make amazing TikToks, very funny characters. We're going to get into the LuLaRoe of it all.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Did you ever see, do you know that TikTok trend where it's like a sibling or best friend trend where one person takes the camera away and goes like, says a movie quote, and then they go back to their friend and they name a movie and they see if their friend is saying the same movie quote as them. Have you seen this?
I have not seen that.
So like you would go over and you'd be like, I'm gonna say Yeah Baby from Austin Powers, and then you would go over to your friend and you'd say Austin Powers, and then you'd both try to say the same quote at the same time.
Okay, that's really fun.
And I feel like you and your sister would excel
100%.
What were the movies that you guys watched like constantly and quoted?
Okay, constantly. Annie was number one. We gotta start there. The number one movie, Annie and Sandlot, we watched just like back to back to back.
So is Sandlot, the quote from Sandlot, is it forever?
Absolutely. And then what other movies did we quote? We were huge on Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen films.
Ah!
Huge. And then other quoting ones. I don't know. I feel like we also just watched a lot of TV too. So like, I remember we loved Family Matters, and like the hardest we ever laughed was when Steve Urkel got hit by lightning multiple times.
Oh, yeah. Comedy gold.
I was like, brilliant. This man's a genius.
And how crazy that Jaleel White never is like celebrated as a comedy actor. It's just like the character exists and it's never like this amazing performer who was completely doing a character for decades.
Yes, like the hardest character. Like he was like at 200
always. The whole time.
It's yes. Like posture, voice, costume. Like it's literally yes. Everything.
And we're then always just like, he got to play the hot.
Stefano! Was Stefan? Stefan.
Stefan Urkel. And Stefan I remember. Urkel.
Yeah. So they get, and then so then he was playing two characters that were completely opposite.
Did he ever mm-hmm. win an Emmy?
Oh, you know what? I do need to know. Probably yes. not, though.
I doubt it, but like I remember in class being like, did you see last night when Stefan Urkel came out? And all of us were like, he's so hot. We're like second graders.
He was never nominated and he was never even invited to go to the Emmy.
That literally is fucked what? Up.
That's messed up. But that was also at the time that there was like four or five of those like big family shows running all the time.
Step
right?
by step. Also horny.
Full House, right? At the same time.
Full
Not
House.
As horny.
No. Now,
who on this call can sing the theme song to Step by Step?
Step by Step.
By step.
Day by day.
Now, is that the one where they're driving across the bridge in San Francisco?
That's no. Full House. Step by Step is the theme park.
The theme park,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, right.
The,
where they
the
all
tilt-a-whirl and the merry-go-round. Yes. Who do you think came up with? Who is the person who, at first time filming opening credits for a sitcom, was like, what if your back's to us and then you turn and look and smile? Because that really set a trend for a long time.
Yes.
Lots of shows.
Like, SNL. You're definitely doing something and then you turn it. Oh, yeah. SNL used to be like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it still is, girl. They stole it from Step by Step. I've always said it.
I've always said it.
I've always said that.
Scout's honor. You can go to my middle school journals and I have a whole entry where I'm like, you know what I think?
Yeah, it's like my conspiracy theory journals as a child is all about that.
Did you journal as a kid?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What Do you still have them?
What was in there?
It was depressing. I sadly got rid of a lot of them when I moved, and now I wish I hadn't because they are funny to look at. But I remember one night being like, a kid was mean to me at school, and I'm journaling and I'm being all emotional. And I went to my mom and I was like, here. And I like handed her my journal to read, be like, that's what I'm going through.
And what was her reaction?
I think she just never said anything. I think she was like, okay. Kind of like, that's for you. Keep it that way. I was like, got it. No ticket.
Sweet. I'm going to need you to keep that to yourself.
Yeah, she's like, honey, like, ew.
Oh, my God. Okay, so TikTok. Let's get into TikTok.
Let's get into it.
When did you start your TikTok? Meatball and I are very into TikTok. We now both have actual accounts on there.
Yes.
I
don't think
either of us post on there. But
I posted three things.
Okay, and I have four or five, but I had them edited by someone else, and they're just promotion for my merch line.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we've never spoken about this. Have you seen these?
The merch line?
No, his TikToms. About the merch line.
Yes, I've seen them. I love them all. And I like them all as well.
Oh.
Ow.
What, do you hate them, people?
I just, they're very, I mean, I think they're funny, but they're odd. you're like running full speed at the camera and then you like, do you take a drink? Water falls out of your mouth. I don't remember. Go watch them, everybody. We'll talk about it.
I take a drink of water and then I pull a pin out of my mouth like it was in the water bottle. I was trying to make something that was weird and different. And so I did that. And then someone did a very TikTok thing. Yeah. And then the merch sold out. But then I did TikTok thing where they commented and they said, put the fast as fuck sound over this. And I was like, oh, so then I reposted it because it's me running and it has that sound of that person going, I'm fast as fuck, boy. I'm fast as fuck. TikTok is so crazy how
it's weird.
Feeds itself.
It's really weird, but I love it. Can't get enough.
So, okay. So your TikTok, it's Reen Machine. There's some underscores in there, right?
Reen underscore machine. Because somebody else has Reen Machine with no underscore.
And you were Reen Machine previously on Instagram. So when you moved over, you were like, well, someone has my handle.
Yeah.
So a Reen underscore machine. And it's just, I mean, it's chock full of hilarious characters. Wigs on wigs, comedy voices. You're really giving us your Steve Urkel type of commitment on your characters.
I'm trying to, you know, walk in his shoes.
What has gone been the biggest one that picked up?
I think the one that really started, because if you scroll all the way down, you'll see I started TikTok like a few months ago.
Right.
Because
I think a lot of people have.
Yeah. Because I was like, I didn't want to. You know, it was like me being old, I think. Me being like, yes. The kids are doing it and I don't understand it like that. And so my first ones are literally just me like yelling at things outside. Just like weird things I see in my neighborhood. And then finally got into watching them and I found this one girl who is a New York fashion student who I became obsessed with.
Oh,
she
yes.
is so tiny and she's sweet. Like I love her. Like I want her life. She's just like always changing outfits, always going to events and like has these videos where she's like a day in the life as a New York fashion student. And I made a joke one, not making fun of her because I do worship her.
Right.
But then a lot
you're
of
like this is my access point. I'm gonna wrap myself in a comforter and say that it's Gucci.
100%. And so I was like, I have 1,000 wigs and costumes. Like I'll put on a Santa suit and say I'm a New York fashion student, and that'll be what I do today. And then they all thought I was making fun of this other girl, Victoria Paris, who has like a million followers.
Yes,
who
I know
it blew
about
up
Paris.
Because they were all tagging her on it. So that was like the most, that's what took off. And then people started following me and I was like, okay, I guess I'll do New York fashion student for the rest of my life. Got it.
Note taken.
The people love it. So I'm doing it.
That's all I'll do. But of course they're all like, you're 40.
Right. But
and I'm like,
you know,
not yet.
I think you're like soon enough, fingers
close.
Crossed.
Today is my birthday.
Really?
Yeah, it's my birthday.
Oh my God.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
The circle has left a gift outside your front door for a special birthday party. Did you guys watch The Circle?
I'm obsessed with The Circle. I've seen it all.
I love The Circle.
Yeah.
But okay, can we wait real quick? Sorry, that guy in this new season of The Circle, I don't know if he's still on it. Well, it all aired already. Anyway, the one who wore the gray sweatpants with his dick out all the time. The
I'm
gay
sure
one,
that.
Oh, the gay ones?
Oh, yes.
His dick was flopping. He played Ashley.
He knew.
Yes. Floppy
he
dick.
He knew.
Floppy Dick Ashley. Mm-hmm. He was also really religious, I do believe, because he did have a sign that said God first, donut second. And I was like, oh no.
Sure did.
The whole time it was there, and I was like, stop.
But I looked at his Instagram, and it's all thotty, like, well, because he's like a club pick.
He's like a physical trainer. He's a trainer. He's a personal trainer and a gay dude. But I think he was raised really religious. So he has like a lot of things pulling him in every direction.
Yes.
And he like.
And so what was that like?
For me, it was hard to watch.
For me, I liked the bulge. Let me tell you. I was into the bulge.
The bulge.
Let's take a look. You know what time? We got to pay these bills, Meatball.
Oh my God, it's already time for another break.
Break number two.
We'll be right back. That one wasn't good either.
Okay, so one of the we're back and I
we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back. Hey.
LuLaRoe.
Mm-hmm.
LuLaRoe.
Meatball, did you watch the doc on Amazon?
LuLaRich. I'm halfway through it.
LuLaRich.
But I've been following all the TikToks about what happened and like hearing from people that were in the MLM. And it's very interesting because some of them still think that it's okay.
People also, are still selling.
Crazy? Is it people are still selling it, and also the whole company was run off of a Google spreadsheet.
So wild!
I love it. And they're like deleting and like just moving these around. Like a 1,000 people are moving the Google spreadsheet around.
Yeah. Like anyone that who had access can just fucking edit it, which was like, this is not a company.
No, like
that would be like if I was at J. Crew and I was like, I need 20 orders shipped to my house.
Exactly. Maybe like if I found out I was a CEO tomorrow, I'd be like, got it. Google spreadsheet. Just like moving things. Got it.
Guys, I guess we're running a $1 billion company.
You know what? Let's do it.
Let me give my son-in-law an unlimited budget to book Katy Perry to sing at our parties.
Katy Perry, Kelly Clarkson. Unbelievable.
You know what I was thinking about when I saw that little piece? I was sort of like, because of course, you know, I am a performer and I do make music and I do accept gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, golly. Well, actually, I mean, this is a, Meatball's going to roll his eyes, but I'll just say one of the first gigs I ever
roll
got
my sty.
Out of town. Oh, I do see it now.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. One of
First gigs is beautiful. First gigs I got out of town was that I was booked to play at like a club in Portland, and I was booked to do this event. And I immediately after the promo got announced, received an email that was like, this person who works at this club is like racist and horrible, and they did this, and our community and I was just sort of like, I was like, I am, no, you don't. It's a different person. But I was like, I was living in Brooklyn at the time. I had no, and like, yeah. And so I need to like fully vet everything that's going on. So I had that micro experience compared to, you know, a massive $1 million contract to perform a thing. It's like, is it that, like, it was funny that they featured Katy Perry and Kelly Clarkson so prominently as like, we booked them, but it's like, they're just doing a gig. They can do whatever they want.
Absolutely. Like, their people were like, you're going to fly to sing for these women. Like, they, Katy Perry wasn't like, you know who I love? LuLaRoe. And LuLaRoe, I need to perform for them. LuLaRoe mama. Like, no.
And she's like, my favorite leggings have a taco right on top of my pusa.
There's a hole in the asshole, and they're soaking wet.
Oh my God. The character you did, you're like spoofing a salesperson, that made its way around a lot of parts of the internet. Did anyone from there reach out and comment? And they were like, we don't appreciate this.
No, they loved it. The ones who were in the, do you know the woman in the documentary? I think her name, I feel
something
like.
Something with a B, right?
Well, I feel like her Instagram, because that's how I like think of people's names. It might be Lachey. She had braces and I loved her. She was my favorite. She made a video and was like, Green Machine, I love this. We love this. And I was like, this is a celebrity.
Yes, it is.
So she was just like, we love it. She's like walking her dog, walking around. And I was like, she was my favorite person of the whole documentary.
Yes, absolutely.
Her and then the other woman. Roberta, I think she was the one who was like, you know, I realized I was in a cult and talked about how stinky the leggings were. She also was like, I love this. So that felt like job done.
Right.
Yeah. Is,
I mean, it's just, it's so interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about social media and how, like, annoying and fake it can feel. And also there's like this weird hierarchy where it's like, oh, you have a blue check, oh, you have 100,000 followers, oh, you have, you know, like whatever. But also it is weirdly this amazing equalizer, because if someone at like any other level, if you were at an event and there was like a VIP section, it's like, oh, well, I can't get into the VIP section. Or if it's like, I wanted to like email someone's agent, it's like, I can't get access to them. But if they like your video online, like all of a sudden you're like DMing with The Rock. I don't know. 100%. You DM with The Rock, right?
Yeah, but that's just for private. That's not for that's not for career. That's sexual DMs. No, but I that's why I like TikTok a lot, because when I'm on Instagram and Twitter, I feel like it's just other comedians I'm following and they're following me and I see their successes. And like, you know, it's just like this like snake eating itself. Where on TikTok, it's like anyone, like a regular ass, like mom in the middle of the country or like a teenage boy somewhere else. Like they can see my stuff and like it. And the people that also I want to reach, like, you know, the women in the documentary, Blue the Rich. But that's where I'm like,
no, they're just
like, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead. It wasn't.
No, you, Meatball.
I'll like, go. You know, they're just sitting there searching like Lula Rich because they want to see what everyone's thinking about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. They have like a Google alert on every app for hashtag Lula Rich. And that's why I use the hashtags. But then like on TikTok, Lieutenant Jim Dangle from Reno 901, he follows me and he likes my videos. And I'm like literally any day now going to message him and be like, do you have a job for me?
Well, girl,
you should.
Yeah, is man. That crazy?
No, what's his name?
Thomas Lennon.
Yeah, and he, I mean, fucking talk about 3 decades worth of work. I mean, he's been working forever. Like, I feel like he was one of those like original groundlings people. Yes.
Yeah. So I feel like if I was like, hey, I see like in my videos, well, I've always liked your stuff. Will you pay me?
Yeah. Like, let me know if they're. Well, okay. So you know Nori Reid.
Mm hmm.
And we had Nori on the show and we were sort of chatting and she basically was like, I think she now has publicly announced that she is writing on That's So Raven, the new That's So Raven reboot.
Amazing.
She's like, yes. I'm employed by Disney, all that stuff. But she's like, we were like, that's so cool. How'd you get that job? And she was like, someone liked my Twitter and then asked me to write on the show. And there used to be so much, obviously, I think there really still is a lot of gatekeeping in many, many elements of the entertainment industry. You could just say Hollywood, but we know gatekeeping in like local drag gigs at a certain bar.
Yeah, it's
like,
me.
Yes.
I'm gatekeeping. I'm the gatekeeper.
Is it me?
Bitch.
Am I the gatekeeper? But so it's everywhere. And in that same way, yeah, that stuff still exists. But also there's this weird way to jump over that gate to connect with someone and to just sort of prove yourself in a way where you don't have to spend 3 years as a writer's assistant getting lunch for people.
That is absolutely the dream.
Right.
I just want to get lunch for people for the rest of my life.
Okay. But I need my dressing on the side. Okay.
On the side. And all the dressings, I have a little cart on the side, no floor mom. No, but like to be able to just sort of like be putting my wigs on with my friends and having fun being myself. And then someone being like, we like that. And now we want to pay you for a job. That's not me answering angry emails. I work for a company called Chow Now, which is lovely, but it's like Grubhub. But every day I get emails of people being like, my food was too spicy. And I'm like, okay.
What am I supposed to do about that?
They're like, I want a refund. And I'm like, no.
Wait, are you the gatekeeper for the refunding?
I am the refund gatekeeper.
Okay, well, riddle me this. If someone were to order a pizza and the delivery person decided to ride a bicycle and they delivered the pizza and then you open the pizza and it had been dropped and it was all on one side of the box.
Absolutely refund. We would reach out. We would be like, okay, yeah, your food was damaged and maybe a bicycle man wasn't supposed to do that. Like, we'll get you a refund.
But you need photo evidence.
Just for personal uses as well, yes.
In this photo, there is a slice missing.
I'd be like, okay, girl, go off. I won't tell anybody. Here's your money back.
You like respond, you're like, well, why don't you go ahead and fold that all the way over for me? And now your order has become a calzone.
And that congrats, because that would have been extra.
I very much connect to your one character where you're in like junior high waiting for the cast list.
Oh my God, Margo.
So perfect.
I think that is literally me because I was
that
cast.
Was me.
I was cast as goat number 4 in The Sound of Music, and I was like, listen. I respect it. I didn't meet the height requirement of all the children in a row. But like, come on. Give goat number 4 a backstory.
Wait, goat number 4 from High on the Hill and the Lonely Goat.
Lady, oh, lady, oh, lady. There was normally multiple goats, and all I was goat number 4.
Because normally that's just puppets. They give that to humans?
Because it was a community theater moment, and they were like, as many children as we can get, yes, they'll pay us to be in our plays.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
When you said just getting on wigs and doing stuff with your friends, it made me think of your, do you call them comedy partners or group?
The yeah, my group.
Piggy girls.
Little piggy girls.
Little,
yeah,
piggy girls.
Oink, oink.
I have seen you do a couple things at your show, Summer of Butt. But you guys do like a lot of like group characters and then sing songs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so fun. They're like the stupidest people I know. And we just got booked. We're going to do a Christmas of our, we did a, over a quarantine, we did a Christmas show that was like a 30 minute, just like all music videos and sketches thing. And so we're going to take that to the stage.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. And we're trying to get some guest books. So if either of you or both of you would like to be a part in our Christmas extravaganza and are free on December 18th, we'll talk.
Yeah,
are you in LA or are you in Chicago?
I'm in LA, honey. I moved here a month before the pandemic, and I've been in my apartment ever since.
Yes, bitch. Wait, I had no idea that you were here.
I'm here. I'm here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I, God, you sang a song as adolescent boys, the three of
grind
you.
Grind with you, girl. Yes. That's one of my favorites.
What are your favorite lyrics from Grind With You, Girl?
Okay, let me think. I love, yesterday I was just a boy who didn't understand, but then I saw some boobs on HBO and now I am a man. What I like? I want to grind with you, girl. No room for Jesus, if you know what I mean. I want to grind with you, girl. Growing a chub in my JNCO jeans. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I know. What's the other one?
Oh,
I'm just singing the ones that I sing because those are the ones that I know.
Like, those are the funniest.
Those are the best. The best lyrics are mine. You're looking so fine and not limited too. I want you so bad sexually. I can't resist that khaki skirt, so come over here and dance with me. Yeah.
And you wrote this amazing song. You wrote...
Oh, I'm blessed. You.
About Trader Joe's food. Which,
oh, I love Trader Joe's. Yes, I wrote a chat.
I was threatened by your performance ability and writing skills.
Uh-oh.
I was like, oh, so Ryan's got bars.
Oh, so she's coming that way.
I was like, I'm nervous to do this rap in front of Big Dipper, who is an actual rap artist.
Meatballs rolling her eyes. What are some of your favorite Trader Joe's
products?
Yes. And or I'm like, do it for us. What are some of the lyrics from the song as well?
Okay, some lyrics from the song. Again, I just have to start at the beginning, otherwise
that's
it's not
fine.
Gonna come out.
It's gonna be entertaining.
Okay, it goes, my pussy starts popping soon as I walk in. The first thing in my basket is a succulent. I rub my ass on that produce while I'm sucking on some cold pressed juice. You know I only came here for that everything bagel seasoning, but when I leave my basket, gonna have at least one of everything. Vitamins, candles, lavender scented lotion. That frozen section so good got me wetter than the ocean. But not to continue, but my favorite is sample alert, see that shit and it make me squirt. Got beans on the bitch, cheese on the bitch. I'm eating 3 because it's free in this bitch.
Wow.
You squirt.
You need to quit.
Yep. I'm ready to quit. I'm happy to quit.
Let's join forces.
Let's take our last break, and then we're going to get into, to quote your adolescent boys, some talk that is sexually
charged. All right, we'll be right back after this break. Did
that sound like a drive-by?
It did. Okay, so now is a segment
that we like to call Fuck Talk.
Fuck Talk.
In which we talk about. Did Sydney warn you about this?
She did, but I'm too Christian for this.
This is not Christian.
Dark-sided.
Okay, well, not to bring it back to the circle, but that gay dude on the circle, all he did was call that other guy Daddy Nick the whole time. And then, so part of me is like, I get it.
I don't.
But then it was like, when they met in person, he was like, Daddy Nick. And he was like, wait. Like, he was like a whole internal narrative the whole time.
Yeah, because he had never seen it. I think he had.
I think he had written it out like once or twice, but he didn't know it was like a constant. Man. He thought it just, he just said it like once in a chat.
Yes. He also thought a lesbian was saying it to him.
Yeah, right. He thought it was a lesbian.
Yeah, so when all of a sudden a big man's like, Daddy Nick. I've loved you this whole time.
And all Nick can see is just that dick in the sweatpants. Like, what's going on here?
I hated that whole squad. I loved Kay. I love Roxana. I love James. I love Calvin.
Yeah, the band felt psychotic.
Well, they were all white and they were almost all catfish, and it just felt gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they like walked in and they were like, and like the one Isabella who was being played by her sister Sophia, she was like, we gotta get Kay out of here, we gotta get James out of here. Like, she just really was gunning for them, and you were like, why?
And I was like, girl, chill.
I was happy James won, but I just wanted Kay to win.
I wanted Kay to win.
From episode one, we all wanted Kay to win. Absolutely. Did you watch the previous season where Trevor?
Yes, I did.
Jaleesa's husband, she catfished as her husband, and she won. One of the best games.
That was the best game
played. I love her. I loved her. I love that horrible show.
Well, you know what's crazy is that they fly them all to London to shoot that. That's not here, which I think is so nuts.
That's not here.
Well, because it's like, why not just build that in Malibu or like just take over like a rundown hotel?
Well, because the American version was not the first version of The Circle. This show had already existed in the format. It just hadn't made it to an American audience. So it's all a European or British production company.
Do you know how expensive it is to make a giant neon circle to put outside of a building? They can only do that once, girl.
Yeah, it's much cheaper to fly 20-30 people all the way over to Europe.
Okay, but not to... Sorry, I interrupted you. I didn't mean to that time.
No, you go ahead. Not but remember, to like... have you seen Sexy Beast?
I love Sexy Beast.
No, I had to turn it off.
I love
Sexy Beast, they also film in the UK. I don't understand. Is Netflix only over in the UK now?
No, think about it. 6 cast members, but 50 people in the production team. They're going to do it wherever the production team is based.
True.
I love Sexy Beast
so much, and I think they all look so insane, but I felt so bad. One girl, they were like, and her? Decomposing corpse.
They really
gave her
decomposing. Yes.
Some people
are
like
brain.
A koala bear.
Yes.
It's like, what if the person you're dating is like into furries and you're a koala bear? It's like they just want to hump.
Yeah, exactly. But she was like, her brain's coming out. There's 2 sad hairs on her bald head. Like, they just like really made it so fucked up, and the rest were like, a dolphin.
Well, the one girl was like the devil, and she had like that long chin. She was, I don't understand how they're like walking around, because as a drag queen, I just would be sweating the whole time.
And then they
and then they make out through the makeup.
And that's
my circle question. You know how when circling they shoot down from the outside? Funny people.
Wow.
You know when they shoot from outside the building?
Yes.
And you can see that everyone's apartment is like right next to one another.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they like, they're like, you've got a gift at the door. They must have to time it so only one of them gets a gift at a time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that no one could see each other in the door. And how fucking soundproof must that building be?
I can't imagine that they're actually next to each other.
But they show shots of them in the units. Yeah. I sort of assumed they would be far corners and that the set when they like walk in slow motion, that is only the set to walk in
just that one hallway.
All shot like before the show.
But they're in the same clothes.
They probably wear that outfit.
I mean, they bring their clothes. It's not like
facial hair, stubble, hairstyles.
But I vaguely remember one of them looking different and being like, oh, these were shot out of order. Like them walking down the hallway was a shoot day.
Well, why don't we call up Michelle Buteau and speak to her about the logistics of how to do this?
Honestly, we should.
Okay. I love her so much. She's so funny on that show. I love to see her.
And it's amazing to see her in like the last 2 years have this like massive glow up because she is a name in comedy that everyone has known for like a decade plus.
Yes.
She just did everyone's show. She was always funny. She was always charming. She was always good. And then literally it's like, look at her career in 2018 versus look at her career now. And it's like multiple movies, sitcoms, TV shows, hosting gigs. Like,
yes, she owns Netflix.
The whole thing
is Netflix.
She
and Nicole Byer are Netflix, and we love to see it. We say take over.
Okay, well, we got to get into our fucking now.
I would love to. Are the three of us doing that over Zoom?
Yeah. So I'll hold this up.
And I'll do this.
This
kind of a lot.
No, we gotta do this. Do you remember this?
Oh my god! Yeah.
Where you would like lay your hand. Okay, so we're laying our hands flat and then spreading out our middle and ring finger, and then the other person would do it vertically. And
what's that one where you like turn around? There's the church and the steeple.
It's talking about here's the church, here's the steeple. Look inside and see
all the people. Okay, you did it right.
I love hand games.
Speaking of all the people,
give me some wine.
What's your number? I'm just kidding.
My number. Okay, I was like,
mine's like 8,000. Remember when we have this interview coming out next week with a man who likes to receive lots and lots of anal sex and as many as many loads as possible? And he, I think, casually was like, "Well, last year I, you know, took 250 cum loads in my ass, but I probably got fucked by five times as many guys like last year alone."
Oh my God.
We were trying to do the math.
I find it interesting that I think like gay men, especially gay men who are really sort of sexually free. I mean, this applies to anyone, but from my understanding, a lot of gay men who like go to sex parties and do things like that.
Right.
It's like, how many people have you slept with in, or like had sex with in your life? They're like 10,000, like over a couple decades, like a massive number. And other people in the world are like 8, 7. Right. I'm 34 and my number is 7, so I think people might think I'm a slut. And you're like, diva, come on over here.
You're a virgin still.
Wait,
my dear.
What is the average?
We need to know this.
It's really bad, Meatball. Average number of people they slept with in their lifetime. Look that up.
A lot of people, maybe I'm like insane.
4.
That's so crazy.
What is it, Meatball?
I'm nervous. It's hard because there's a lot of graphs.
Big Dipper, did you ever meet Mick Napier? He ran the Annoyance Theater in Chicago.
I heard about him, but wasn't he like a gay dude in the leather scene?
100%. I love him. He was like a big mentor for me. He's a psycho clown. And he would always be like, I've sucked more dick than you've had lunches. And he's like, get on stage and be funny. Or like anything for you. He would just go to like Steamworks and shit and then come teach improv.
Yeah.
Which is what you want your improv teacher to do.
It's not looking good.
Stop.
It seems as though.
Okay, this is the median heterosexual man or woman reports somewhere between 4 and 6 opposite sex partners in their lifetime.
Okay, well, I've beat that, thank God. I took 250 loads last night.
There you go. Anywhere.
So
anywhere between 4 and 8 partners is considered an average number of sexual partners for adult women and men.
So sad. That's why straight people are so sad. But
men,
sad.
This says that men between ages of 25 and 49, but you it says 6.4.
Six point, yeah. What does 0.4 mean?
I think just, it's just the tip. So let's just, we'll round down 6 partners. I had more than 6 partners when I was 13.
Okay, jealous. I'm just kidding. Me, I'm jealous.
All right, trauma. Okay, trauma. That's some trauma, mama. If you would ask me, I would not know. I don't know the number. I'd have to sit and really think.
I wish I could say that. I know my number just because I've had boyfriends throughout. I think straight people like just have less fun sex. It's just like a lot harder to be like, I fucked a lot.
Yeah. And then what are we considering sex? Like me sucking a guy's dick in a bathroom at a club? Is that, it's not really penetrative.
No.
Right.
But okay. So that's a hookup. Meatball, when we
is
spoke.
Is that a sexual partner?
It's, I would say that's a sexual partner. STD? No, I would say this is a sexual partner.
Yes.
Okay. When yikes. You were with your boyfriends, mm-hmm. plural.
Come on.
All of them.
Was there a conversation ever about monogamy, or was that implied that once you became boyfriends, girlfriends, like partnered, there was never even like, oh, we can do this and also be open? Because that is like the resounding conversation, especially in gay relationships, I think in a lot of queer relationships, where it's just like, oh, well, are you guys monogamous?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of straight people are like blown away by that question because they're like, wait, what do you mean?
I mean, I'm so jealous of that. In the past, no, because I was a young fool dating young, horrible comedy guys. So like, there was never any positive conversation about what was happening in our relationship. My boyfriend now, yes, we've talked about that, where it's like, I think, because I see myself with this person for a really long time. And I just know that like, it is normal to want to have sex with other people. I know I'm going to want to. I know he's going to want to. And when I really think about it, I'm like, no, yeah, who cares? Because also like when you go have a one night stand, it's fun in the moment. Night. It's also horrible. It's both good and bad. Like we all know it's like uncomfortable and strange. So like, that's something that in my brain, I'm like, nothing to be jealous of. Totally fine. If I went and did it, it would be the same. It's just like a weird conversation that I think we've had and we will keep having. Right now it's closed, but like in a year, in 2 years, I might be like, listen, babe.
You don't know the
future. I'm going to go get railed in every hole. I'll see you for dinner.
Every hole
will be full.
Oh my God. Every hole will be full.
And I just think there's like such a weird thing of like women being jealous of other women and men being jealous of other men when it comes to that. I'm sure there's also jealousy in like the gay community with this stuff, but I think
they're the worst.
You guys have such open conversations about it always.
Mm-hmm.
I wish straight sex was like that. But it's not. And now let's talk about straight sex.
Well, I can just, all I think about when I've been like, have putting
are
sex
most
in the
straight people like that. I feel like most of them aren't progressive enough to be like, maybe one day it'll, it's like, it's just like in my mind, they're like, we're together and we're together forever. And that's it. No one else.
Right. And that's why it's so like, sad.
Your genitals are touched or touch one other person. Let's blow up our entire life, ruin everything. And like, you know, kill the any potential of like a happy childhood for our children. So because you betrayed me because you got kind of horny on 2 beers and like wanted to like, you know, diddle your friend in the back of the bar. Like that to me is the most insane thing when it comes to like cheating and infidelity. It's like, oh, a drunk mistake that literally means nothing. And you want to like ruin our lives.
I mean, it's what happened to Idina Menzel.
Oh, Adele Dazeem. I love her. Adele Dazeem.
What's his name? Cheated on her. What's his
name? Tay Diggs. Who came to a Second City show.
Fingered you in the back?
Fingered me on stage live. 300 audiences. No, Tay Diggs came with like a hot young woman. He was filming, what's the show called? In Chicago. Cookies on it. Why can't I think? Empire. He was filming Empire and he saw the first act. He came backstage. Normally people don't come back until after the show's over. He's like, I have to go, but I love it. I think I want to do this. Can I take an improv class? And it was like, just so much. I'm going to sign up for an improv class. And then left in the weirdest, biggest jeans I've ever seen.
I wanted to ask you earlier, what were some of the biggest celebrities who came to Second City who came backstage and you then had to do improv with?
Okay, well, they didn't do improv, but Steve Martin and Martin Short came. And it was it was next level, like best day of my life besides today with you guys.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it being your birthday, so happy birthday.
And that.
Our gift to you is we're being here thank on you. Our show.
Thank you. They came and saw the show, and then they came backstage and were so nice and, like, unbelievable. And then Steve Martin left, and Martin Short was like, he's too famous, you understand? He has to leave. And so then Martin Short, who I'm fully obsessed with, hung out, watched improv, went to the bar, sat next to me on a couch for like an hour and was like just talking about Trump and his life and his family. And at one point grabbed me by the chin and was like, you're a millennial. You don't understand.
He seems like he would be so fun. He's become the caricature of himself. Because I watch him on, what is that show? Only Murders in the Building?
Yes.
And
yes.
It's like he's playing that like old theater fag. And I'm like, I love it. I want to be him.
That is him. Like, he was just so kind. And then they invited us to their private sound check the next day at the Chicago Theater. So we all got fucked up. We were so excited. We got so drunk. So then the next day, I've never been more hungover. It's like 2 p.m. And we go to the Chicago Theater and Steve Martin greets us at the door, the back door. And he's like, welcome. The celebrities are finally here. And just me and my cast, Tien was there. We just like sit. And watched him like tune his banjo. And he's like trying to talk to like this, trying to talk to us. He's like, I hate these microphones. What do you guys think? Talking to us like we're equals. So we're kind of like hungover and weeping silently in this like theater watching him. And then Martin Short appears. He's like, I've arrived. And like floats on just like that character. And it felt fake. It was so magical.
That's so funny. Oh my God.
Yeah, they were the nicest, best, most wonderful people ever. We're like, that's not always true.
Right. Correct.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, they were cool.
Well, I love that gift. Thank you so much.
What a gift you are, Ryan.
Happy birthday, Ryan.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys are gifts. I love this.
This was so fun.
Well, I know, we gotta hang out.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a show together.
The three of us doing a live show on December 18th.
Yes!
Mark your calendars, you bitches.
Us and the little piggy girls.
Yeah.
Amazing. Meatball, you want to give us the outro?
Where can everyone find you, Ryan?
They can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and of course TikTok at Reen_machine.
Yes, thank you all so much for listening to Sloppy Seconds this week. You can call in with your fuck talk story to 213-536-9180 or email us sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode, which come out every Tuesday and Friday. And follow us on Instagram at SloppyPod or Fat Drag Meatball on Twitter or Spiciest Meatball on Instagram and Big Dipper Jelly on Instagram. You got to go back and forth. All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Doodle-a-doo-doo, forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.